figured we would discuss the use of the secular calendar in Yom HaDiyoma, I guess as you say. We discuss halacha is, the Gemara says that on Pesach you learn Hilchos Pesach, and on Sukkot you learn Hilchos Sukkot. So we'll talk about using the secular calendar. I thought we'd also talk about birthdays, but then I prepared the shiur and I said, don't even bother preparing the secular birthday. I didn't know we'd be starting 20 minutes late also. But there's enough to talk about, because there's plenty to talk about the secular calendar itself. So there's a lot of interesting discussion about it. And at first glance, the question would be, what's the problem? And what would be wrong with using the secular calendar?
So,
so that's one issue, and that's really how it connects to what we've been discussing. We've been discussing here at these shiurim, we've been discussing contemporary issues of Avodah Zarah, but in particular, the last month, 3 weeks, we've been discussing Chukas Akum, which we said is the prohibition of doing things that are to mimic the idol worshippers. And we established that there are different ways to mimic idol worshippers, whether it's things that they, actions that they do that are for their worshipping of idols, obviously is included. An action that they do to worship is obviously included in the prohibition of not doing. And then the question was, how far reaching does that go? Does it go to, if you take it to its logical, or at this point, in this situation, illogical conclusion, you would say, well, just as the idol worshippers walk around, so too, then we can't walk around. They buy food from the supermarket, we can't buy food from the supermarket. So obviously, you can't take it that far, because the pasuk just says, you shouldn't go in their ways. So the question is, where do you draw the line? And we established, basically, that the accepted position, at least amongst Ashkenazic Jews, because that's what the Rama quotes, is the position of the Maharik. And it seems that the Sfardim also follow the opinion of the Maharik. Rav Avadya Yosef quotes this Maharik in a number of tshuvos. The Maharik, if you recall, he said that there are two additional types of actions that the idol worshippers do that are that fall under this prohibition. One is that if there's something that they do that is for immodest purposes. He doesn't give examples of exactly what that is, but he was referring to, maybe he does, maybe he talks about the way they dress and the way they act. So if there are specific actions that they do or ways that they dress or act that are supposed to be immodest and lack of tznius, so then that would be included in the prohibition of not walking in the ways of the idol worshippers. The third category, and really the one which is the most broad, according to the Maharik, and this is where most of these questions come up, is when there was something that they did, that idol worshippers did, for no apparent reason. And therefore, if one were to do that, it would seem that the sole purpose of doing so is to imitate the ways of the idol worshippers. And he says that's the pshuto shel mikra, the simple explanation of the pasuk, because the pasuk says, ubechukoseihem. We know that a chok in the Torah is a law without reason, just as par aduma is a chok. So shatnez is a chok. We don't understand the reason for it, and therefore the most logical explanation of the words of the pasuk would be that if the idol worshippers do something that has no apparent reason, just simply because they do it, then to mimic that would be to imitate them, and that would be the prohibition, because we'd be imitating the ways of the idol worshippers. So applying that to the use of the secular calendar is obviously something that many discussed, or some danced around and seemed to be saying in their issues that they take with using the secular calendar. The one who is found to say something most similar to saying that it falls under this prohibition is the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer, Moshe Sofer, was living in Pressburg, Germany, in the times of the beginnings of the Reform movement. So you can understand that he was really fighting very much, pushing back against the movement of enlightenment and assimilation. And so to a lot of his tshuvos, became famous, that he said, Chadash Aser Min HaTorah. Now, that's a play on words. Chadash literally is referring to the laws of eating the new grains. Every year the grains are prohibited until you bring the Korban Omer on the second day of Pesach. And that's what the Korban Omer does. And Chadash is one of the prohibitions in the Torah, that if you have grain that grows from the end of Pesach until the following second day of Pesach, you can't eat it in Israel. You can't eat it until the second day of Pesach comes. So Chadash, the Gemara says, is Asur min HaTorah. So the Chasam Sofer, as a play on words, said Chadash, meaning anything new, is Asur min HaTorah. Not Chadash referring, but Chadash. So that was his approach, just to give you a little bit of context. Not that he was, but understand that he was really pushing against the tides, right? Rosh Hashanah Fall Hirsch came, I believe, right after that. He came right after the Chasam Sofer, so he too was very much, a lot of his 19 letters were written in response to the whole movement. So just to give you some historical context of who the Chasam Sofer was and what time he lived in. So the Chasam Sofer writes in a few places, and really in his drushes and in his commentary on the Torah, he writes that, I'll quote it because it's a very strong language, that you can't count using the secular calendar, and somebody who uses and writes the Kosvim Bereish Megilta, it's not on the sheet, because it's just one line, so I didn't bother, and I couldn't fit it on. But somebody who writes at the beginning of their letter, Minyan Leidas Mashiach HaNotrim, the secular date, and this is really referring to the secular years that is counted from the birth of the Mashiach HaNotrim, the Messiah of the Christians, Zvikosei V'chosem Atmo She'en Lo Chelek Be'elokei Yisrael. And it's as if he is saying that he has no chelek in the portion of Hashem. He disconnects himself from Hashem. Oy lahem ki gamlu lanafsham ra'ah b'Torah Hashem asu. Woe to them because they despise the Torah. That's very strong language. Right? Very strong language. That being said, I don't want to spoil the end before we get there, but that being said, there is a recorded letter that the Chasam Sofer himself wrote and dated it. It was written to some government official, and it was dated with, well, I forget the exact date, July something, you know, 17 whatever, or 18 whatever. So just to, so again, this is what he writes. The question is, what does he mean, right? So if you look at the two places that he does deal with it, to me it sounds like he's almost saying it's Chukas Akum, that to use the count of the calendar that is based, the years, that is based on the birth of the Messiah of the Notrim, of the Christians, that would be just going in the ways of the idols. That would be considered Chukas Akum. He doesn't spell that out and say that it would fall under this prohibition, but to me it sounds like, you know, he's moving in that direction. Because he doesn't spell out what's the exact Isser in the Torah. It's not a Avodah Zarah, you're not worshipping him by using the years. So it sounds like you would say it's something like Chukas Akum. So that's one issue that we'll have to deal with, and whether this should fall under the prohibition of Chukas Akum. The, I would say, bigger issue, not bigger, but a little meatier issue, is what I did give you, and that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin.
Have you ever discussed any part of this about the numbers of the month as opposed to the calendar itself? I remember at some point learning that,
I hope so,
that you shouldn't write, for example, 12/31, because the Jewish calendar isn't the 12th month.
Right, yes.
Is that an issue?
That's, yeah, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
in there. Okay.
That's fine. Part two.
All right.
Of tonight's show. I hope to get it all in tonight. Yeah, that's the plan. Okay, so the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is on the right side of the page of the two Gemaras, not with the handwriting on the side, which gives you a little bit of history of the chain of the Masorah, and you'll see why I wrote all that in on the left side there. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin is on the right side of the page. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis says that one is not allowed to swear. The Mishnah says that if one swears in the name of an Avodah Zarah, or he causes somebody to swear in the name of an Avodah Zarah, then you are violating an Isser in the Torah. So the Gemara says, Hanoder bishmo v'hamakayim bishmo minolam. So the Gemara says, how do we know this? What pasuk is it from? It says that you're violating a lo ta'aseh in the Torah. From what pasuk? Ditanya, the Braisa says, v'shem Elohim acherim lo tazkiru. The pasuk says that you should not mention lo tazkiru. So what's tazkiru?
Remember.
Recognize. Or where else do we have that type of a language of Tazkiru? Laman Tizkiru, that's true. That's true. Where else do we have the idea of Zachor?
Shabbos.
So what do we do on Shabbos? What Zachor is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho teaches us what halacha?
Make Kiddush.
Right? So what does Zachor mean?
I'm mentioning.
Right? Literally, Zachor means to remember. But when the Torah tells us to remember something, how do we do it?
Verbally.
Right? By Amalek. Right? The Nitzah Zachiris Amalek, we read. Zachor is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho, Kiddush. We say Kiddush. Right? So let's just keep that in mind. But literally, what does it mean? Tazkiru?
Remember.
Right? It shouldn't be remembered. So the name of another god should not be remembered. Or you should not cause to be remembered. Shalo yomar adam l'chaveiro shamor li v'tzad avodas kochav m'plonis. That you should not say to another person, you shouldn't use an avodah zarah as a landmark. Meet me at the corner by the idol of whatever.
Then the Torah sort of broke itself. If it's not to mention it verbally, then in the Torah.
Oh, very good question, Zach. Very good. Good question. We'll get there in a minute. That's the second arrow. Very good. Good question. It's true. The Torah does mention Avodah Zarah, and that's an issue that we have to figure out how to put the two together. Right. So, good question. Hold that thought. But what the Gemara says is, from that pasuk we see that you're not allowed to mention or use it as a landmark. Let's not use mention. Literally, what the Gemara says is you can't use a Avodah Zarah as a landmark. Don't meet me on the corner by the church of whatever. Right? You can't say that because, why can't you say that?
Because it's recognizing that their deity or whatever their...
You're saying it. What if I were to just say it for no reason? Right? There's a purpose in my saying it here. I'm not just saying the name of their god, of an Avodah Zarah. I'm saying it for a purpose. And if I'm saying it for a purpose, you could make the case that from this Gemara we see that you can't use it for a purpose, because when you use it for a purpose, in a way you're giving it chashivas. Right? You don't say, meet me on the corner by the leaf on the floor. Right? Because it's so insignificant. When you say, meet me somewhere, you're going to use something important as your landmark. Otherwise, it's not a landmark. Right? So maybe all the Gemara is saying is that when you can't use it as something, you can't give it importance by using it as a landmark. Right? Or would you say, the other option is to read this Gemara and say, no, it's just saying, it's just an example. Don't use it in any way. Why would I say the second approach makes more sense? Because if you look at the pasuk just says, "Shem Elohim Acherim Lo Tazkiru." The name of another god you shouldn't
mention.
Right? Let's say mention. So you shouldn't mention. Does it say in the Torah you shouldn't mention it in a way that gives it importance? No. It just says don't mention it. So mentioning it would be in any way. Right? So there are two opinions. The Rishonim quote that there are two ways of reading this line in the Gemara, and obviously there would be a little bit of a difference practically, but most the Shulchan Aruch does assume that it's a broader, that it includes any mentioning of the name of an Avodah Zarah, of an idol. And then the Gemara quotes another pasuk of Lo Yishama Al Picha that tells you you're not allowed to swear in the name of an Avodah Zarah. Fine, right? Let's leave that for now. If we were learning this Gemara, we would spend a little more time on this Gemara. But that's enough for us for now. Now skip down to the second arrow on the page. Ki asa Ula bas b'Kalnabo. When Ula came to Kalnabo, Amar le Rava v'hecha bas mar. Where were you? Amar le b'Kalnabo. I was staying in Kalnabo. And now Kalnabo was the name of an Avodah Zarah. It was a city, but it was also the name of an Avodah Zarah. So, Amar Leh, So Rava turns to him and says, Abaye, the haksi v'shem elohim acharim lo tazkiru. You know the pasuk, right? It says you're not allowed to mention the name of an avodah zarah. Yeah? Talk about this?
On Xmas.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he quoted this.
He quoted the first one.
Uh huh.
Very nice.
Amr Lei. So he said to him, Achi Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Avodos Kochavim Haksuva Batora Mutter Lahazkir Shma. So he says to him that any Avodah Zarah that's mentioned in the Torah, it's mutter to say. Because he can't say that you can't read the Torah. Right? That's inconceivable.
Kol Nabo in the
Torah. Oh, so the Ha Hechak Siva. Very good. So the Gemara says, where does it say Kol Nabo in the Torah? So Dichsiv Kara Baal Karas Navo. So it doesn't say it explicitly. But if you put those words together, Kara Baal Karas Navo, Kol Nabo. Right? So it's somewhere in there. Or it's close enough, the Gemara assumes, that it's referring to the same God. This is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Koreim Nevo. But, because I think the name of the Avodah Zarah was Nevo, I believe. So, Kal Nevo, Baal Nevo, Baal Karam Nevo, the issue was Nevo. So you see that the Avodah Zarah was mentioned not even in the Torah, it's mentioned in Nevi'im, it's mentioned in Yeshayahu. But the Gemara basically is saying, but if not. So, yeah, you're not allowed to mention the name of an idol or another god, but unless it's written in the Torah, because you can't say that you can't learn the words of the Torah. You're going to skip those words every time you get up to it, laning.
But then how would you know if it's there if you can't read it in the first place?
So you know it's there, because it's written there.
Yeah, but
right.
How would you know you can't read it?
Right. So you're allowed to say it. You're allowed to say the names of Avodah Zarah that are written in the Torah. Right? But beyond that, you can't. Right?
There are no references to Jesus in it.
No, he lived later.
No, but like not in a Chumash, but.
So.
Because that would be really big. Because then you could say Smiths and.
No,
I'm serious. Yeah. I'm not.
I hear. I'm not sure that it would be. First of all, the first time he would be mentioned is in the Gemara. So there were some mentions of Yeshu HaNotzri. Which is why some people say Yeshu, because that's what the Gemara says. And there's a question what that means, whether it stands for something, was that actually his name, or does it stand for something else? So, but that's the only place that we have it. You know, so it doesn't say JC, because first of all, it's written in a different language. Mm-hmm. And second of all, it just says it refers to him only as Yeshu. And then the question would be, if it's mentioned in the Gemara but it's not mentioned in the Torah, so you're right, it would be hard to say that it's usher to say, because if it says it in the Gemara, obviously they thought it was okay to write, so if it was okay for me to write, they must have been talking about it, right? So it must have applied also to a name that was written in the Gemara. I agree with you if it said it explicitly.
Where did you get that from? Is it that it sounds like the first name, or is it like Loshia, like a savior?
No, that may have been
what
they referred to him as. They may have called him Yeshu.
No, but that came from somewhere. Was it,
I don't know,
the derivation of the J or the C?
No, the J.
Because it could be like savior. I don't know.
I hear, but I don't think so. I think it was more from the J. Okay. So.
Well, he probably had a Hebrew name also. Like, he was Jewish, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he did.
So maybe that had to do with what it's. You know.
It could be his name is Yeshu.
Yeah, maybe that's what his name was.
Yeah, it could be. So fine, so good. Now, so that's the Gemara.
Are you saying that because a name is in the Gemara, then we know that it's okay to say it, or that it's because specifically it's in the Gemara, therefore it's like part of.
Because part of the Torah.
Yeah, because otherwise, because until it was actually in the Gemara,
were they allowed
to say it? Wasn't written anywhere.
Right.
So it's kind of.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Right,
so I'm not sure. I don't know. We'd have to find out and see if the Gemara uses the name of an Avodah Zarah that isn't mentioned in the Torah, because it would be difficult for me to think that if you have a name that's written in the Gemara, every time you get up to that word, you have to skip it.
Right. Of course, you would assume that you would.
You could say it. So the question is, why? Is it because it's in the Gemara, so it's like it's in the Torah? Or do you say, because if they wrote it in the Gemara, obviously it was okay to say.
Right, because they couldn't have written it if they could.
They wouldn't have written it, right. So yeah, but you could take one of those two approaches. You're right. You're right. But I don't know. We'd have to look through and see whether that would be. But it's an interesting question. You have to go through the Gemaras and the Avodah Zarah and see if it mentions any idol that's not mentioned in the Torah. Fine. So that's the Gemara. The Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch, we know, is a compilation of the law of the... Sefer HaChinuch is a compilation of the mitzvos, of the mitzvos of the Torah. Right, the 613 mitzvos, also not on your sheet. But the Sefer HaChinuch just gives a reason for this prohibition. And I'm only mentioning it because up until now, is there any possible reason that we shouldn't be able to use the year? Right. Even let's assume for now that the year, right, 2013, is the count from the birth of Yeshu. Right? Let's assume that for now.
They say year of our...
Right, so okay, right. If you say... with like AD or any of those Rosh Tevos or the words, so that I hear, that's actually referencing, and then that would get into the issue of mentioning Elohim Acherim, right? Fine. But let's say just we're saying 2013. Did our Gemara say anything about is 2013 in any way, should that fall under the prohibition of the shame Elohim Acherim Lo Tazkiru? In theory, not.
Or write CE instead of AD.
Also questionable, but in theory, right? But so the reason why it becomes part of our question is because of the Sefer HaChinuch. And the Sefer HaChinuch says that the reason for this prohibition is to distance ourselves from Avodah Zarah both in action and in speech. Ad shelo ya'ale zichra bilvavenu le'olam. So that we should never think about it. There should never be a thought, that the Avodah Zarah should not be a thought in our mind.
How can you learn Masechet Avodah Zarah?
That's what he thinks the reason for the mitzvah.
What concept is he writing on?
The shame of Elohim Acherim Lo Tazkiru.
So
Tazkiru doesn't just mean verb, exactly. It means remembering.
That's
right.
Than
now, yeah, exactly.
If you
come up to someone and
you don't think about it, then you're going to think about it.
Right. So it's this drasha of giving the reason for the mitzvah, for this prohibition, is broadening the application of the Gemara. Because the Gemara said, what do we learn from this pasuk? Don't say to somebody, meet me by the corner of the Avodah Zarah. And this, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, this pasuk doesn't just tell you that you shouldn't say that because you're going to be mentioning the Avodah Zarah, but it's because you're going to be causing somebody else to think about the Avodah Zarah. So
we have other mitzvahs that are about controlling a thought also. Not supposed to covet, not supposed to...
It's true. And every time we have a mitzvah like that, everybody asks, how can we have a mitzvah or a prohibition about thought? Right, and they're coveting is a lot written about how could it be that we have a prohibition of being jealous or coveting. It's either we are or we're not. You can't control it. So okay, there are different explanations for it. So you're right. Same thing. We have to love God. Right? What does it mean to love God? Either I do or I don't. So no, there's ways to go about it. So in theory, we do, but. And I think that because the reason why the Sefer HaChinuch says this is because since the Torah says Shem Elohim Acherim Lo Tazkiru, Tazkiru to remember or cause to be Tazkiru means cause to be remembered. So that's why that's the prohibition according to the Sefer HaChinuch. You can't do something to cause something else to be remembered. And that's Tazkiru. Doesn't mean that you're saying it. It means that you're causing it to be remembered. One way to cause somebody to think about it is by saying it. Right? And then you're thinking about it also. So, okay, just to understand that that is a little bit of a broadening, or a lot of a broadening, and a court, and based on that, that's where the Maharam Shik, which is on your sheets on the other side, the Maharam Shik is one of the close students of the Chassam Sofer. His Rebbe was the Chassam Sofer. The Maharam Shik, who I quoted to you before, had a problem with the dates because he felt that it almost, he basically said it was Chukas Akum. But the Maharam Shik, his student, was asked about writing, he calls it Laz, which just means the language of the time, the mother tongue. And I think he was in Hungary, so whatever language they were reading, whatever the language they were speaking there, Hungarian, I guess. So, about you writing it on a matseva, do you have to write, should you only write Hebrew on a matseva and use the Hebrew date, or can you write the language of the town on the matseva, or the place on the matseva, and use the secular date and secular year?
I hope so.
So, well, he had problems with it. He had problems with it. So again, you know, Maharam Shik, you know, we don't necessarily follow this halacha. There are many who disagree with it. Again, everybody agrees that it's better that we should use the Hebrew date, because the Hebrew date is always counting from Briyas HaOlam, which every time we say the year, Tafshin Ayin Dalet, so we're remembering back to the creation of the world, and that's as opposed to remembering back to whatever year zero represents. So it's always better. The question is there a prohibition to do so? So the Maharam Shik thinks yes. And he says that the reason why there's a prohibition is because when you say the year, then you're thinking about the birth of Yeshua.
He would still say this in the 1800s?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
this is written on the top of the page, on the top right. It says, Yom Bezel Seder Vayetze Tuf Reish Lamed Tes. So the Tuf Reish Lamed Tes was 135 years ago, the bottom source, sorry. 135 years ago, let's say, about, give or take, 135 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's about, what, 1880 or so, 1879, 1878, whatever exactly it is. So he was writing on this. So he said, Matseva comes from the word Lahatsiv, to Nitzav, and the whole idea of a Matseva, the reason why it's called a Matseva is because we write these things to show, in a sense, our belief in Tchias HaMesim, which is Matseva means to erect, to stand up. So Nitzav, it shows that even in death we believe in Tchias HaMesim. And then he writes by the arrow on the left side, but he basically says that he thinks that it should be all in Hebrew letters, and it should be all with the Hebrew date, because he thinks it's a violation of V'shem Elohim Acharim Lo Tazkiru to put the year, the secular year, on there, because he says you're going to think about, where does he say it? If you look at the end of that paragraph, three lines before the end of that paragraph, he quotes the Sefer HaChinuch, Mikol Makom Kevan Da'al Yedei HaMinyan Ola Al HaZikaron Machshava. Since, because as a result of the count of the year, you are going to remember a thought about what that count is counting from, Nira De'Aser, De'Zil Basar Taima. Because you follow the reasoning of the Sefer HaChinuch, and you're causing it to be thought about, you're causing the Avodah Zarah, you're causing yourself to think about Avodah Zarah, or anybody else who reads the date, to think about the birth of Yeshu, and therefore he thinks that it is prohibited to ever write or say the year 2013. Right? That's the Maharam Shik's opinion. So those are the two major issues. One is Chukas Akum, and the other is causing somebody to think about the Avodah Zarah, yeah.
So then what would happen if I wrote the date as 12/31/13 instead of 2013?
So some like that better. Some do, some write.
It's a shorthand.
It is a shorthand, but some prefer that because you're not writing 2013. You're just writing 13. Others say, why does that help? Right? Because it's the same thing. When you see it, you think 13, meaning 2013, so it's just one step removed.
Because unless it's something from 100 years ago, you're going to know that it's...
Right, so you're, but you're thinking about the year anyway. So there are some who write that, and they say when you're writing a check, you should just write 13 instead of 2013. And one sefer says, and I can assure you that it works, because all the checks I ever wrote, they all worked. Nobody ever sent it back to me. They always took the check. Except for when I didn't have money in the bank. Something like that. but yeah, I mean, in theory, some prefer that, but others say it's all the same. So how do you deal with these issues? So the first and easiest way of dealing with, the Chasam Sofer's issue, I think, is a little bit simpler to deal with. The Chasam Sofer, if the Chasam Sofer's claim is that it's Chukas Akum, so the problem is, but Chasam Sofer, we have a letter that you wrote with the date on it. So Rav Avadji Yosef, in his tshuva about this, writes that he thinks that what the Chasam Sofer means is that if somebody is doing so in order to mimic the ways of the idol worshippers, that would be prohibited. He's doing it almost lahachas. Right? Specifically not saying the Hebrew date and specifically using it to be like the idol worshippers of his town. He says, but if for a practical purpose you need that, or that's so for business and for checks and for all those things, he says he doesn't even think that the Chasam Sofer, or even for a letter that's being written to a non-Jew, or if you were to write 57, 74 on the top, they would look at you like you're crazy. So he says, so the haraya, the proof is, the Chasam Sofer himself did that. When he needed to write a letter to the government, he wrote 1870 whatever.
So really what you're saying is that for Jewish schools, for the Lumei HaKodesh, or as long as their teachers are Jewish, you shouldn't be writing these dates.
Right, it's probably better to use the Hebrew dates. Yeah, for the Lumei HaKodesh, for
right.
Sure. It's better to use the Hebrew dates. Unfortunately, the Hebrew dates are so lost
right.
In our, in our society, that we don't even, if you ask somebody on the street what date is it, nobody would think twice to give you, December 31st, but everybody would have to think about what day of Teves it is. You say, I know Rosh Chodesh is on Thursday, so you work backwards from Rosh Chodesh.
But is it 30 days? Is it 29?
Well, it's only
2 days.
It's one day of Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah.
I know that day. So, you start thinking about it. But in theory, right we. Yeah, it's 29 days.
Yeah.
So today's now it's the 28th.
Right.
Now it's
29.
Right. Tomorrow night's Rosh Chodesh. So. In theory, it would be better if we. I mean, it would be good. It should be that we should be aware of our calendar as well. Now, it's not that the solar calendar. We use the solar calendar, right? We start saying the same Talmud to Livracha based
right.
on the solar calendar, not on the lunar calendar. Of course, we start at night though.
We also don't put a year.
We don't do the. It doesn't matter the year,
right,
but
right,
right. The year is irrelevant. But I'm just saying, it's not that the secular calendar. Right, December 6th. Because of the, but not our leap year, not the Jewish calendar
yeah.
leap year. It's based on the, although the Jewish calendar itself has questions. Because where do you think the names came from
right.
for outward
yeah,
Nisan?
The word calendar.
A calendar. I don't know where that came from.
That's one of the things the rabbi said the other night was that
calendria.
Calendria.
Is
a God.
Yeah. Calendria. The mission right. of Avodah Zarah lists that as one of the days of Avodah Zarah. Yeah. But where do you think with Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves, Shvat? Where those
they're
come from?
Babylonian names?
Yeah. They're from
yeah.
Persia.
Yeah.
They're from when we came back from Persia, Babel, Persia, after the start to rebuild the second base of Mikdash, those names came with us.
So what did they call it before that?
Kodesh HaShvi.
One,
Kodesh,
two,
yeah.
three,
yeah.
four, five, six, seven.
So it'd be, but that would be kind of confusing because of like how the Torah, they say it's the 7 month, and we think it's the first month, and then...
Yeah, right, mm-hmm. right. Yeah, but the Torah never uses names.
Right, solid numbers.
In Nevi'im, you do find some names. In the Megillah Esther already, we have names. In Chodesh Adar. Right.
That says Nisan here. It's here at the end.
Where are you?
Bottom of one on the
screen. Yeah, but that's not a pasuk. That's the Ramban. That's the Ramban. So he's writing even later. The Ramban's in he lived the 12th century, 13th
century.
So that's already later. But yeah, you're right. He does.
Even last, they did 12th century.
That's right. Not if you can't say 2013. I have to say, he lived in 50, in the year 50 something. About 700 years ago.
The 50th century.
Yeah. Something like that.
Is there any issue with using the secular names in the month, like January?
Yes.
February?
Yeah, in theory, that's the same question. Okay. So hold on, we'll get to that. That's that Ramban. Jesus, those 20 minutes. So fine, so then we dealt with the Chassam Sofer, right? Not Chukas Akum, because, and anyway, we know that the Ma'arik says that anytime we do an action that the idol worshippers do for a purpose, which can be explained, so it's not Chukas Akum. So why do we use the calendar? Because we need to keep the date. Why do they do it? Not because of Avodah Zarah. They need to keep the date. So in order to keep everything
straight.
Yeah, because
they can change it to
some... But also, just... And we do it for a reason. We do it for business purposes. We do it for, you know, to keep track of... And all of... most of our... you know, the things going on in our lives that are happening outside of our Jewish community are all based on the secular day and the secular calendar. So there's reason for it. Once there's a reason for it, like we talked about with the yarmulkes, they don't wear yarmulkes, but there's a reason why they don't wear yarmulkes, so therefore it's not considered Chukas Akum. The question is, how do you deal with the Maharam Shik's reason of that it's causing you to think about Avodah Zarah? So the easy answer is that the Gemara doesn't say that you can't cause somebody to think about Avodah Zarah. The Gemara explains that the pasuk means you can't say the Avodah Zarah. You can't mention it.
Right.
You can't say, you can't use it as a landmark, wait for me by the side of the Avodah Zarah. Right? But it doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara that you can't cause some, you can't say something that somebody will think of the Avodah Zarah because of my words. And if that's what the Gemara wanted to say that the pasuk concludes, then the Gemara should always give us the biggest chiddush. It always gives us the most, the as far as it can apply. So if this pasuk means, not only can't you say it, and not only can't you refer to it, but you can't even make other people think about it, and that's what the Gemara should have said. And if you can't make people think about it, you certainly can't mention it, and you certainly can't say it. Right? I mean, once you tell me you can't make people think of it, I know everything else. Of course you can't say it, because then you're certainly making people think of it. So the fact that the Gemara doesn't say that, but rather the Gemara gives you an example of don't use it as a landmark, meaning say it, so you could say that we disagree with, and there are those who disagree, with the Sefer HaChinuch extension and expansion of this law, that it would include even causing somebody to think about it. Now that's the easy answer. Now for the little more difficult answer. There are those who say that there is no real connection between the years of the calendar and the death of Yeshu. Now, I say it's a little more difficult because not everybody agrees with that. The birth,
no.
Sorry. Yeah, birth and death.
No, because isn't it the year zero supposed to be, because then they say their calendar...
So it happens to be the year zero, according to them, according to some of them, it was year
one.
Either one,
right.
Or four.
Four.
Or four. It was actually four. He was born 4 years before year zero, or he was one at year zero. So there are small discrepancies.
Then what's with the BCE and the, or BR, you know, AD,
yeah,
and stuff like that? Because isn't that considered from year zero?
Right.
They consider it AD.
Yes.
But then
but
that
that's
make
the point.
Any, that doesn't make any sense. That if he
right.
that was
correct,
birth,
but it's
as
close
to
enough.
Right.
How long do you live?
That's,
right.
That's their Gemara.
Right.
There's no year zero.
They start with
year
one.
Zero.
They start with one.
They start with one.
One. Yeah. I mean,
so, all right, so here's the issue. This is the Gemara, the other Gemara that I gave you, the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota, I'm not going to read it all inside just because it's already late, but I'll explain that little timeline on the side there. The Gemara tells a story about Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya. Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya was living at the time of Yanai HaMelech. Yanai HaMelech was a very wicked king. He killed many of the rabbis of the time, and he was married to his wife was Rav Shimon ben Shetach's sister. Okay? So he was, Rav Shimon ben Shetach was one of the rabbis, so his sister was married to the king. So he got word that the king Yanai was killing all the rabbis, so he told some of his friends, as many as he can, and they ran to Egypt. So the Gemara records a story about Rav Yeshua ben Prachya when he went to Egypt, And then the Gemara says that Yanai's wife convinced him to stop killing all the rabbis. So Rav Shimon ben Shetach heard that Yanai was going to stop killing all the rabbis. He sent word to his rabbi friends in Alexandria in Egypt and said, it's safe to come home. So the Gemara then says that on the way home, Rav Yehuda ben Prachya, was traveling with somebody. It doesn't tell us his name. But it says that he was traveling with somebody, and they stopped at an inn. And the woman at the inn was very kind to them. She gave them food and she gave them a place to live, to stay. And Rav Shimon ben Prachya said, how great, how wonderful, Matuva, how great is this woman, is this innkeeper. And this student of his, or this person that he was with, said, I didn't think so. Her eyes were a little bit closed. Meaning, he thought Rav Shimon ben Prachya was saying, how beautiful is this woman? And therefore he said, I didn't think she was so beautiful. Rav Shimon ben Prachya was really saying, she's been so kind to us, how wonderful she is. So he says to his student, you know, basically, what are you thinking about these things for? You know, your mind isn't, you're not thinking in the right place, and he sends him away. So then this student tried to ask forgiveness a number of times from Rav Shimon ben Prachya. And he keeps saying no. He keeps pushing him away, he pushes him away. Until finally, the last time, he comes to Rav Shimon ben Prachya, and Rav Shimon ben Prachya happens to be saying Kriya Shema. And he makes a sign like something with his hands, and he was saying, hold on, I'm davening. And this student took it to mean, get out of here. So the Gemara says that he left, and he went out, and he led many people away from Judaism. So the Gemara then says that Rav Shimon ben Prachya came to him and said, come back. He says, no, you already told me. I learned from you that any person who sins and causes others to sin is not allowed to come and do tshuva. End of story. And there are those who are of the opinion that this student of Rav Shimon ben Prachya was Yeshu. Now, when did Rav Shimon ben Prachya live? So I don't know the exact years. But if you look at the timeline on the side of the page, Rav Shimon ben Prachya had in Pirkei Avos, the Masora is that he had two students, Rav Shimon ben Shetach and Rav Yehuda ben Tavai. They had two students, Shemaya and Avtalion. They had two students, Hillel and Shammai. Hillel lived, Hillel was the Nasi, 100 years before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, which was in 69, right? The destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Which means that this Rav Shimon ben Prachya story happened 150 years or so before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Which means that it was happening in the English secular date of, you know, whatever. Negative 80.
Yeah.
Right? Negative 80. So,
how could it be
right, if this is Yeshu, then he wasn't when they claimed that he was born. In which case, one has nothing to do with the other, and therefore there is no reason to assume that the calendar, the date, the years has anything to do with his birth, and therefore has nothing to do with reminding you of, or anybody of him, because it's all a mistake. Is based on the Roman Empire, the year that we started the count is based on the Roman Empire, not on Yeshu, and therefore there is really no connection between the birth of Yeshu and the years. And the reason why they wanted to claim that it was is because they wanted his death to be close to the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, so they could say that you see that because you killed Yeshu, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But really, he lived
way before,
150 to 180 years beforehand, right?
Right. Because 150 is when the story happened, right? So
right.
You have to assume he was...
Right, so he was at least a few years old by this time. So that's what some say, that therefore there's no connection. So, their history tells a different story. So some say... ours is right, theirs is wrong. Right? That's one explanation. The other answer that's given is that there were two Yeshus. And this one is not the one that they worship.
Just a guy with the same name has also rebelled.
Well, first of all, we don't have his name exactly, right? It doesn't refer to him by name. It just refers to somebody who was pushed away and led others astray.
Not allowed to say
that. Well, the truth is, his name was censored. So a lot of these Gemara, the other Gemara where comes up, there's the sense is, so only in the new Gemaras or the very old Gemaras where you have the real text.
So maybe they really, he did have
so name. Yeah, I don't know. This is not I didn't have a chance to check like a newer version. So maybe he does have a name there. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that's just removed. It talks about him and his students and it's just taken out. There's a Gemara in Shabbos. The reason why some say that they were two Yeshus is because we have other references to Yeshu, the son of, or somebody, the son of Miriam, who was called a Shote, and apparently also put to death.
Oh, Miriam?
Yeah.
Sounds a lot like that.
Right. So that's why some believe that there was a second one. That's based on a Gemara in Shabbos that mentions somebody who did some type of witchcraft. They said, so you see, you learn that people did witchcraft. They said, nah, he was a Shote. You can't learn from him. And he was the one who was the son of Miriam, who worked by, who did the hair in the house of the king, or something like that, which is based on the Gemara and Chagiga. So there are a few different places where this character comes up, and therefore there are those who say that, no, they don't have it wrong. Maybe they are accurate, and our Gemara can be accurate as well. It's just that there are two people who were referring to two different people. And this Yeshu in the Gemara and Sota is not referring to the same Yeshu that they ended up worshipping. So that's why I said it's a little bit more of a difficult way of getting out of it, right? So you can say that either the count has nothing to do with Yeshu, but that's a machlokes. The easier way of getting out of it is, who says that causing somebody to think about it? Now, if that's true, then what that would mean is that there would be no problem to say the year 2013. The problem would be to say the year A.D., or maybe CE, right? Meaning making some reference specifically to the beginning of the year. At that point, you're in a sense mentioning the birth of Yeshu. But just to say the year, and maybe somebody would think about it, it's not clear. Not everybody would agree. Many Rav Avadya Yosef, the Tzitz Eliezer, many contemporary poskim have tshuvas where they dispute this position of the Maram Shik. They say maybe on a Matseva maybe it's better, but they dispute that it would be Aser Min HaTorah to say the year, to use the year, to use the language. So that's how everybody deals with those two. And then others quote that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it's Aser. Nowhere in the Shulchan Aruch is there a halacha that it's Aser to use the year, the secular year. And the Shulchan Aruch was written a number of years after they were already using this year. So you would think that if it was really Usser, that somewhere in the Shulchan Aruch it would be codified as law that you can't say the year 2013. So, you know, those are basically the reasons as to why we're allowed to say the year, or those who say you can say the year 2013. It's 10 after 10 already. It's late. Should we save the month for the beginning of next week's year? Talk about the month? Using the numbers and names, and or should we keep going? That's Moshe's house. I don't want to keep him up.
I'm not going to sleep.
Going? I don't want to
that,
keep anybody.
What you say about the years, does that follow through to that there's nothing wrong now with the salutation that people are going to be saying in an hour and 50 minutes? Is that not prohibited also?
Not necessarily.
Follow the same logic?
Not necessarily. Because there's a big question about the history of New Year's and as to whether it's a pagan holiday or whether, you know, what the celebration is and whether one is allowed to partake in celebrations of New Year's. It's the same question of taking part in celebrations of December 25th, of taking part in celebrations of Thanksgiving, of Halloween, all those things. And the question is how you deal with all those.
One of the difficult things is if you don't work in the Jewish world,
yes,
in the Yeshiva world,
right.
And your customers, your suppliers,
all
your
say,
business partners, your whatever, all
say
that to you.
Yeah.
Are you supposed to say,
no.
You're supposed to start coughing fit, everyone.
No, I don't think so. No,
it shouldn't be rude.
Right. Right. No, again, you know, there. I heard from Rav Willig said that it depends on what the emphasis is. You know, if it's happy, what did he say? He put the comma. Is it happy New Year or is it happy New Year? Meaning, is it happy New Year because New Year's was a day of celebration and possibly pagan and idol worshiping in nature. But to say happy New Year, meaning, and the intention is just, which is basically what the celebration is nowadays. The
right.
celebration is nothing religious, not nothing. I'm not going to say nothing because they do have mass on January 1st. But by most people, when they say they're not thinking, they're thinking.
Most people are hung over and don't go.
Most people are thinking to themselves, you should, you know, have a good, successful new year. So, you know, if that's what it means, then in theory, there's nothing wrong with wishing somebody well,
right.
Which is in essence what you're doing when you say Happy New Year. So, in a situation where it arises, where one needs to say something like that, or finds that it's appropriate, so you know, I it's different than wishing them
happy pagan holiday.
It does. I mean, again, if he was really born on December 25th, then that January 1st really has to do with
the 25th.
It works. Yeah, they celebrate that. I don't like wow. Like what significance does?
Yeah. As somebody said last week when we were talking about it, someone said they don't like it when you say that. When you tell them that's what it is. I mean, yeah.
They don't even know. They don't know.
But it's apparently New Year's was a pagan holiday also. There was some pagan holiday around that time also. And in the Gemara, it already mentions it. The Trumas Hadeshin has a whole tshuva about it and mentions it and seems to think, you know, not clear exactly what he says about it. But he does mention New Yar, Naya Yar, which is New Year's. And he's mentioned, according to some, that's what Kalendra in the Mishnah, the Avodah Zarah, is referring to New Year's. It says it's 8 days after the Tekufa, which means the solstice, which is about New Year's, right? Especially once they moved it. There's a question about celebrating it and taking part in celebrations. It's like Thanksgiving. Rav Moshe Feinstein puts it together with Thanksgiving. He groups it together with Thanksgiving. There are those who feel that Thanksgiving is Chukas Akum. There are those who feel that it's Chukas Akum. To put it on the calendar that should be every year a new holiday that is like Chukas Akum.
There's something bad about it. I mean,
right.
Chukas Akum could be like...
Yeah.
You gotta listen to it when we put it on there. we talk
no,
about
I mean,
it.
No. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. There are different opinions about Thanksgiving. Not everybody feels comfortable talking about
it. Even if you say it's Chukas Akum, like...
Chukas Akum could have nothing to do with Avodah Zarah, and it would still be Chukas Akum.
So that's a whole separate question of mine.
Meaning there can be something that is... has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah, and it's still prohibited because of Chukas Akum. Right, I think the best example of that
would
be...
like going to a ball game.
So Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked about that, and he feels that it's not Chukas Akum because you're doing it for pleasure and entertainment. So there's a reason for it.
Yeah, Thanksgiving's like a communal...
And
like
Jews, I assume, in the... celebrating Thanksgiving or whatever it was. It wasn't ever a non-Jewish holiday. It was an American.
Right.
So Jewish Americans celebrate that Thanksgiving.
I guess so. There are those who had the problem just adding a new holiday to the calendar. And that was part of the issue. You can't add a set holiday to the calendar. We have our holidays and...
I find it curious that you...
Well,
that
not connected to our calendar.
Thanksgiving and Halloween together, because...
I wouldn't put them in together. No, Thanksgiving and New Year's.
I thought you mentioned Halloween.
Oh, Halloween, yeah. I think Halloween is more problematic.
I thought you mentioned that Rav Feinstein put the two together.
No. He put New Year's and Thanksgiving together. Halloween is closer to December 25th, because Halloween is clearly pagan.
All Halloween.
But it doesn't even celebrate, though. What does Halloween even celebrate, though?
I was whatever. Whatever. That's a
whatever.
That's an interesting one. Now, but nowadays it has nothing to do with it, which is why I would say that it seems to me that taking part in Halloween celebrations would be in my mind, I can see that one would say it's an issue of Chukas Akum, because even though the nowadays celebration, if you ask most people, stop a person on the street, what's this day about, when they're out there trick or treating, they'll have no idea. But since it had pagan roots, so meaning it's being done for, in theory, pagan purposes, then to take part in the day would be prohibitive, right? The question of New Year's parties and things of that nature. So it's hard to say that it would be, under this prohibition, that it would be clearly usher. If New Year's was a clearly religious day, then in theory it would be prohibited to take part in the parties and things of that nature. But because it's not so clear exactly what the source of the day is and whether it's religious in nature, so I still say better not to be involved, better to be at a shir tonight than to be out partying and reveling. But it would be hard to say that this is actually an Isser Deoraisa to go to, I'm not sure that would be so simple to say either. But to wish people, when they say to you, Happy New Year.
Usually put healthy in there too,
Yeah, it should be a happy and healthy New Year.
I mean,
basically what it is, it's a wish or a good year. It has nothing to do with the holiday of New Year. It has to do with the new year is starting. And, just the same way people make...
It's like a travel. It's like saying good travel.
Right. It's like saying good geben shtior, which is exactly what it is in Yiddish. Mm-hmm. Right? A good and blessed year. Happy New Year.
Right? Rabbi Moloch's right. Punctuation counts.
Right. Happy New Year, as opposed to Happy New Year. Because when you say New Year, it's like one... I think that's what it is.
So can you wish someone a generic happy holiday?
Better than saying
the other.
Merry.
Merry. Or you just fall on Shabbos and just say good Shabbos here.
But in theory, yeah. I mean, again, if need be. Yeah. But that's making it like a holiday.
Okay, but that could be all encompassing. Could be.
Yeah. Happy Hanukkah.
Right. Could be everything.
Right. I'm saying to
this year.
You say happy holidays about New Year's is saying that it's a holiday. right. It's not as bad as saying Merry whatever, but I don't know that it's the best thing, as the ideal. Best use their judgment, and I don't know that it would be.
If you're saying that's against halacha, it almost becomes a dangerous situation, because then people are often with.
There's an idea quoted from I think it was the Oyev Yisrael, it was the Apter Rav, that he used to go out and wish people a happy New Year. So nobody understood what the Rebbe was going out and wishing people a happy New Year. So they asked him, what's the shot? Why are you wishing people a happy New Year? So the Rebbe said that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the way that the rest of the world celebrates their New Year, and at this moment he looks back and says, how did the Jewish people celebrate Rosh Hashanah? And he sees that we're in shul, and we're davening, and we're crying, and we're begging, and then we have a meal, and we're happy, and we celebrate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our king. And he compares that to the way that the people revel in doing the wasting and the hololus of what it looks like in places like Times Square. So he says,
you said in Times Square, it's like Kapparos.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he remembers his children, and he looks upon us with a favorable eye. He says, because compare how they celebrate New Year's to how you celebrate New Year's. And he, quote-unquote, appreciates and sees the value and what we did, then it's almost, the Gezerah.
But why would you wish people Happy New Year?
Because he would say to them, Happy New Year. Go and celebrate in the way that you're celebrating because it makes us look great. So he wishes them.
You go get drunk. Thank you. Now when
the
debauchery.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, this means like you know, wastefulness and just Holiness. It's like you know, like hevel, like havalim, like hevel havalim, of just partying and reveling and you know. So he would go out and say, Happy New Year. Wish them all well that he should continue partying because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees and he should have, we should be Ma'orer, his Rachamim, that we come together and we learn and we daven and, you know, and even on a night like tonight. So we get together and we learn. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have Rachmanis on us and should also, he should have Rachmanis on the entire world. That should be for the good for everybody.
Amen.
Go ahead.